Grab your Bible. It's time for Reading the Word with Justin Reed, sponsored by the Wood Church of Christ in Woodbury. Now, here's Justin.
Thank you, Brother Dearman. Thank you for tuning in as we begin a brand new study today on Reading the Word. My name is Justin Reed. Honored to be the pulpit minister for the Wood Church Christ. Honored to have you here with us as well. Do me a favor, as Brother Dearman asked you so politely, please grab your Bible, turn to 1 Samuel chapter 17. We're going to spend a couple of lessons here in 1 Samuel 17, with a lesson that I've entitled, because that's how it was given to me when I taught it in a vacation Bible school, the adult session on David Shows Courage. What we're going to do is we're going to study the story of David and Goliath. And before you turn me off or stop this program, just because you know the story of David and Goliath, friends, we need to hear it again. It's a great story. It's a great story, especially in times like this where it seems like we always are needing courage. Here is a great chance to have courage by imitating what David did. And so we're going to take, really we'll take the entirety of 1 Samuel chapter 17, and we're going to break it down almost verse by verse, and I want us to better understand, first off, how does David show courage? And secondly, how can we apply it to our lives? Now, before we get there, courage, if you were to look it up in a dictionary, courage is the ability to do something that frightens someone. So it's something that scares you, but yet you've mustered up enough strength to do it. Well, in this series, we're going to look at three main times in the story of 1 Samuel 17 where David showed great courage. So the first one is found about the first 19 or so verses where David actually enters the battlefield. Join with me in 1 Samuel 17 and verse 1. Now the Philistines gathered together their armies to battle, and were gathered together at Shokah, which belonged to Judah, and pitched between Shokah and Azekah and Ephrathdammim. Now, who are the Philistines? They were a constant enemy of Israelites. Secular history tells us they came to this area about 1200 B.C. Well, David becomes being king of Israel at about 1000 B.C. So they've been here almost 200 years. Now, Shokah, where they pitched their tent, it's 14 miles west of Bethlehem. If you are familiar with your biblical geography in that part of the world, 14 miles west of Bethlehem. Let's continue our story. Verse 12 or verse 2, Saul, he's the king of Israel, and the men of Israel gathered together and pitched by the valley of Elah, and they set the battle in array against the Philistines. Well, a couple of things I want us to examine here. First off, the word valley. Old Testament's written in Hebrew, and there are two main words for valley in Hebrew. And the first one's found in verse 2. It says, where they pitched in the valley of Elah. That word for valley means a broad and a flat area. That's the valley of Elah. But look in verse 3. And the Philistines stood on a mountain on the one side. Israel stood on a mountain on the other side. And there was a valley between them. There's your other word for valley. In verse 2, valley means broad and flat land. Verse 3, valley means something that's narrow. So, on top of the mountain, there is a flat area where Saul and the rest of Israel pitched their tents. And then you have a very short, a narrow valley. And then on the other side of the mountain, where the Philistines are, they would have pitched their tent up there. Now, verse 4, we're introduced to the enemy. And there went out a champion of the camp of the Philistines. His name was Goliath of Gath, and his height was 6 cubits and a span. Gath, there were 5 Philistine cities we read of in the Old Testament. Gaza, Ashkelon, Ashdod, Gath, and Ekron. And we see Gath was the closest of the 5 to Judah. Now, the Bible says he is a giant because his height is 6 cubits and a span. What is a cubit? Measured on the male from the elbow to the top, to the tip of the middle finger when a man's arm is extended, usually 18 inches or a foot and a half. So if you take 6 cubits, or you take the number 6, you multiply it by 18 inches or times 1.5, Goliath is 9 feet tall. Now, a span, that was measured when a man would stick his hand out from thumb to pinky, and that's anywhere from 6 to 9 inches. So Goliath is at least 9.5 feet. But here's something interesting. When they measured height back then, they didn't measure like we do today from the bottom of your foot to the top of your head. They measured from the bottom of your foot till about the top of your nose or where your eyebrows are. Well, if you think about it, if you've already got this big man, Goliath could have been as tall as a basketball goal, as tall as a one-story building. You have this mighty man. But the Bible goes on and tells us that he had a helmet of brass, verse 5, upon his head, and he was armed with a coat of mail. The weight of the coat was 5,000 shekels of brass. Well, this helmet, now very interesting, something we'll need to keep note of and we'll mention again, but this helmet would have literally covered everything on his head except his forehead. Right there above the space between your eyebrows, go up just a little bit, that little area would have been exposed. His chainmail coat, if you do the math today, would have weighed about 125 pounds. So imagine you hear this 10-foot-tall man walking, and every time he walks, his 125 pounds of chainmail on him just chinka, 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 chinka. Every time he took a step, that would be intimidating. Friends, verse 6, he had greaves of brass upon his legs and a target of brass between his shoulders. Those are leg coverings. Verse 7, the staff of his spear was like a weaver's beam, and the spear's head weighed 600 shekels of iron, and one bearing a shield went before him. Just the head of the spear, friends, weighed 15 pounds. That's not including the weight of the spear, but that's just the head of it. And Goliath is so big and wearing all this chainmail, it would have been more for a show. He couldn't have walked fast. He really couldn't have done a whole lot. It was more to intimidate the enemy. And we see somebody had to go before him, holding his shield, had to go before him. So much armor. Imagine this terrifying sight. And we're going to learn when we come back from this break just what exactly he said to God's chosen people. We need to take a quick break. Hope you'll stick around on the other side of this break. We'll begin in 1 Samuel 17, verse 8, on Reading the Word.
Reading the Word with Justin Reed is sponsored by the Wood Church of Christ. The building is located at 99 Sally Parton Road at the base of Short Mountain, 6 miles off 70 on Short Mountain Road on the left. Join us for Bible study Sunday at 10 a.m., worship at 11 a.m. and 5:30 p.m., with midweek Bible study Wednesday at 7 p.m.
And we are back. Thank you so much for sticking around as we're continuing reading the Word. We're seeing how David shows courage there in 1 Samuel 17. We're ready to pick up in verse 8. The Bible says, "And Goliath stood and cried unto the armies of Israel. And he said unto them, Why are you come out to set your battle in array? Am not I a Philistine, and you servants to Saul? Choose you a man for you, and let him come down to me." Friends, basically, he's trash-talking the Israelites, if I could put it in 20 terminology there. Choose you a man, though. This is an open invitation. Choose you a man. Send him down here. We'll duke this out. We'll finally see who is the best, who is the smartest, who is the bravest. Well, if we jump ahead, or verse 9, he says, "If he be able to fight with me and kill me, then we, the Philistines, will be your servants. But if I prevail against him, and if I kill him, then you shall be our servants, and you'll serve us." And the Philistine said, "I defy the armies of Israel this day. Give me a man that we may fight together." So his ultimatum is, you send me a man. If he wins and kills me, we'll be your servants. But if I kill him and I win, then you're our servants and you must serve us. In verse 11, Saul and all Israel heard those words of the Philistine. They were dismayed and they're greatly afraid. Now, Saul should have led the army because he is their king. They wanted a king so badly. And so they wanted one to look good, so they got one to look good. What I find interesting is Saul was a tall man. The Bible tells us that he was a head and shoulders taller than everybody else. But this is even a taller man than Saul. And it even has Saul. He's terrified, but he should have been there with God or with his people leading them into the battle, but he's not. Verses 12 through 14, we'll read together. Now David was the son of that Ephrahite of Bethlehem, Judah, whose name was Jesse. He had 8 sons, and the men went among them for an old man in the days of Saul. And the three eldest sons of Jesse went and followed Saul to the battle. The names of the three sons that went to the battle were Eliab the firstborn, and next was Abinadab, and the third was Shammah. And David was the youngest, and the three eldest followed Saul. We see the younger of Jesse's son is going to eventually be the one that's going to be chosen by God, but the oldest three, they go into battle. Now, here's what I find interesting. There are 10 different people in the Bible that were younger that were chosen before the elder. Now, normally the elder one would have the rights to do what they needed to. They would get the more inheritance. But there are 10 times in the Bible where the younger was. First was with Abel. He was younger than Cain. Shem is younger than Ham and Japheth. Abraham, well, he's the youngest of his. Isaac, Ishmael's older. Jacob is younger than Esau. Judah is definitely younger. Joseph, Ephraim, Moses, and now here David. There's 10 people where the younger is chosen, is preferred before the older. Verse 15, but David went and returned from Saul to feed his father's sheep there at Bethlehem. He's still a young lad, verse 16, the Philistine drew near morning and evening and presented himself for 40 days. I love number studies in the Bible. 40 days, that's the number of days it was raining, nights and days, days and nights when the ark was on the water. 40 days, Jesus, Moses, and Elijah fasted. Ezekiel laid on his right side to bear the iniquity of Israel's sins for 40 days. 40 years did the Israelites wander, and 40 years Saul, David, and Solomon reigned. So we see 40 frequently appears in the Bible. And so Goliath goes out, makes this big show, and we see he does this big show for 40 days. Verse 17, Jesse said unto David his son, take now for thy brethren an ephah of this parched corn and these 10 loaves, and run to the camp to thy brethren, and carry these 10 cheeses to the captain of their thousand, and look how thy brethren fare, and take their pledge. Now Saul and they and all the men of Israel were in the valley of Elah fighting the Philistines. This half bushel of roasted grain, verse 17, he was supposed to take would be used to make bread. Verse 18 and 19, his job is to go get a report, bring his brothers, his literal brothers, some food, and then come home and tell his old dad how they're doing. Here's you a good side lesson before we have to stop our study for today. He is told to take 10 cheeses, verse 18, so they can go fight. Cheeses of milk, literally in Hebrew. Well, there are only three times in the Bible you're going to learn of the word cheese. First, here is 1 Samuel 17 and 18. Your second one is 2 Samuel 17, 29. And your third one is in Job chapter 10 and verse number 10. There's your a bonus side lesson. Aren't you glad you tuned in to Reading the Word today? Because if you hadn't, you would have missed it. Cheese only three times in the Bible. 1 Samuel 17, 18, 2 Samuel 17, 29, and Job 10 and verse 10. So the first time that David shows courage, because remember, he's just a young shepherd boy. He's not the warrior king of Israel yet. He shows courage by going into battle, purposely going where things were going to be just a tad bit difficult. Yet he is willing to do what his dad told him and asked him to do. Now, next week, when we begin our study again, we will look at how it took courage on David's part to trust in God. And then we will also look how it took courage on David's part to literally confront the giant whose name is Goliath. But I think that will suffice for our lesson today as we're learning about how David shows courage in 1 Samuel 17. Now, I would like to put a copy of these notes into your hand. I tell you what, everything you need to know about this is on my website, TheJustinReedShow.com, TheJustinReedShow.com. You just click on where it says Bible Resources, and you can take it to the page. You can hear these sermons again. You can get the notes and a whole lot more on my website. It's all free. I would love to put it in your hands so you can study better, and it will make me feel good knowing that you're studying from this as well. Thank you so much for your attention. That's going to do it for us. Until next time, I'll leave you with a passage from Numbers chapter 6. May the good Lord bless you. May He keep you. And thank you for listening.
This has been Reading the Word with Justin Reed, sponsored by the Wood Church of Christ in Woodbury.